All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get into the word. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for, Lord, just thank you for a cool summer. Thank you for, Lord, in the midst of no AC, Father, that we're able to be comfortable. Thank you for faithful stewards, faithful servants to set up fans for us. Lord, thank you for, Lord, just all the ways you're providing for us. All the opportunities that you're opening up for us. Lord, we thank you that you're always with us and you never leave us or forsake us, God. We thank you that you've got us. As Nicholas shared this morning, Lord, we thank you, Father, for the opportunity to make your name great. We thank you for the opportunity to know you better, Lord. We thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence here now, Lord, to lead us into all truth, to testify to us of Jesus, to open our eyes and enlighten our hearts. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. We ask that you would come and we give you complete freedom to do your work, to change us, to transform us, to renew us in the image of Jesus. We want to be made more like him. We want our hearts transformed. Lord, we want to walk in the fullness of all that you purchased for us at the cross and with your blood. And so, Lord, we love you and we welcome you here this morning. Would you lead us and direct us, speak to our hearts, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I've always desired more. A lot of times I've just, in my life, I've seen that my prayer life ends up just simply being reactionary. There's a crisis that'll happen and I'll quickly run to prayer or something that I think I can't handle that scares me or something that weighs on my heart. And in those moments I turn to prayer, but I've always wanted to go beyond that. And so I've always been fascinated with learning and becoming a student of growing in a lifestyle of prayer to where it wasn't just something that I do in response to events, but rather it's just the culture of my life, of my family, of my marriage, of the community that I'm a part of. And so I've always been fascinated just with studying that and trying to grow in that and learn. And I as I was preparing this week, my mind went back to 20 years ago, this past May. I was driving my soon-to-be wife, Jennifer, down to the airport. I was going to drop her off there, and the plan was, it was about a month before we got married, and the plan was that she was going to fly up to Massachusetts and make all the preparations, and I was going to stay here and just work my tail off and just, you know, squirrel away as much money as I possibly could before we got married. And of course, this was before 9/11, so we could actually walk the person to the gate. But there we are at the gate, and of course, there's tears because this is the most traumatic thing this young couple has ever had to face, was separation for a month, right? But as I'm hugging her goodbye, in the midst of it, it's just, you know, I'm thinking back. I was 22 years old. I'm an idiot. What do I know, really? But just it was the wisdom of the Lord as I'm just trying to search for some way to comfort my soon-to-be wife here. And the words that came to me in the moment, the revelation I just spoke, I said, as often as you miss me, as often as you think of me, pray for me. And I'll do the same. And what I inadvertently, by the grace of God, stumbled into in that moment was the fact that there is a heart connection with the place of prayer. That it's not just this obligatory thing that we do. It's not just a drudgery. It's not just a burden. But God actually is wanting to bring us into a place of more than just something, this is what we do. More than just rattling off requests to the ceiling. But there's actually something in our hearts that's moving. That's actually, there's a connection with the person of the Holy Spirit, with Jesus himself, with our Father in the place of prayer that calls us more to just simply react, but actually engages us in our life, in our home, in our marriages, in the workplace, in the school place, and in all that we do. And we end up, you know, what I realized is that we pray most and most consistently and most passionately about the things that we carry in our hearts, that we love the most. And in that, you realize that prayer, you know, isn't it amazing? In Christianity, as we talk about everything else, it's all about loving God and loving your neighbor, right? It's all about loving God and loving your neighbor. Worship, it's all about loving God and then out of that, loving your neighbor. Evangelism or service or teaching or whatever we do, loving God and loving your neighbor until we get to prayer. And then suddenly it's this thing that we have to do, this thing that was, okay, God's going to be more pleased with us if we pray. But what I realize is it's in those things that we love the most that we carry a burden in prayer for. And I realize the opposite is true as well. I don't know about you. Maybe you're way more spiritual and way more mature. This is actually kind of embarrassing for me to admit. I think I'm 42 years old. I should be over this already. There are things sometimes that happen, and I get annoyed. I get flustered and frustrated, and I just things that just eat me up inside. And maybe you don't deal with this, but I could literally spend an entire day just, my mind is just focused on that. All my emotional and mental energy is just on that one thing. And I'm just working it over and building my case and arguing with people who aren't there in my head. Right? I'm offended. I'm wounded. I'm upset. I'm ticked off. I'm not loving because the entire day, I will waste the entire day right there and never once bring it before the Lord in prayer. And we understand that there's this connection in the place of prayer with love. Love for Him and love for one another. And so what's gripping me here this morning is growing in this place, not just to simply have more prayer meetings or say, come on, people, pray more, but actually that the Holy Spirit would work love for Him more in our hearts and love for others more in our hearts, because it's that love that drives us to a place of prayer. That as often as that love is at work in our hearts, the only response we have is to pray. That the emotions that go along with it. I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about the burden of love that God gives us for a situation, for a person, would actually trigger us to respond to prayer, would actually drive us into a place of prayer. It's the overflow. And so think about this. We think about a prayer meeting as simply drudgery or obligation, but rather renewing our minds that this is our opportunity to love Him. This is the overflow of love for Him. This is the overflow of caring for the things that He cares about. This is the outworking of, one of the outworkings of love for one another, is that we engage in a place of prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just start thinking to myself, well, that's great, but I'm just not feeling it, Aaron. I don't have that love inside me. I'm just content to just do the thing, run the machinery, do the routine. I've got good news for you this morning, and that is God loves to share. He loves to share, and He loves to share His heart. He loves to share who He is. He loves to share what He's up to. Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, I'm not calling you servants. I'm calling you friends, because servants don't know what their master is up to. But friends say, how are you doing? What's going on with you? What are you up to right now? Friends take an interest. And when friends see an opportunity to come alongside their friends, see, we talk about friends being friends with God, but it's not just we're chummy, we're buddies, and we just hang out. We're friends with God. We actually tend to His heart. We actually come alongside Him and what He's doing and minister to His heart. And one of the primary ways we do that is in the place of prayer. That's why I'm not just talking about emotionalism. I'm talking about the place where our emotions, our heart connect with His. And it's in the place of prayer. Paul tells us this. He says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man. In other words, with all of our physical senses, with all of our receptors, we cannot fathom, we can't understand what God is up to, but God has revealed it to us by His Holy Spirit. God loves to share, and He loves to share His heart, and He loves to share the things that are weighing on His heart, the things that He's concerned about. And He loves not only just to let us know about it. See, it's so much more than just simply, I know what's going on. He actually shares His heart with us, and we actually begin to feel what He feels. And so there's this joining with the concerns of God. Even Jesus, it says, before He ministered, He saw the crowds and He felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You think of our missionaries on the field, someone like the Crams, and the burden that they carry for children who have been sold into trafficking. They could stand here and they could give you all the statistics about just how bad it really is. And we could say, oh, and feel emotionally about it, but then leave here and have nothing of the heart of God grip us. But the reality is that God has given them a burden. It's the burden on His heart, and He shared that with them. So they feel that, but they don't only feel that, it leads them to pray that, to take action with that. It's more than just simply a feeling. This is something in the heart of God that they carry. And it's the thing that drives them to prayer. They don't pray about it because they have to, because that's what good Christians or good missionaries they do. They do because they carry that burden of love of their friend. And they minister to that in the place of prayer. And so we're in Paul's letter of 1 Thessalonians. And so to get where we're going, I want us to just revisit for a minute Paul's emotions as he talks about this. As we've just finished in chapter 2. Where Paul says, you saw how I lived among you, how I worked night and day so I wouldn't be a burden to you. He says, you know how I cared for you like a mother, how I encouraged you like a father, how when I was forced to be separated from you, it felt as if my own child had been ripped from my arms. And then when we were separated, I want you to know my thoughts never left you. I was always concerned for you. And we tried and we tried and we tried again. Everything in us tried to get back to see you, but it wasn't a matter of our will or our efforts. It was Satan actually that hindered us, that restrained us, that kept us from coming. And on that, he says, but listen, you are my joy. You are my crown. You are my glory. You're the one I boast about before Jesus. And so burdened was I for your well-being that there it reached a point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I had to do something. So I sent Timothy to you to give you encouragement. But also I wanted to find out how you were doing. And oh my goodness, you would not believe the joy that I experienced when I heard the report that you were standing firm in the Lord. And not only that, you desired to see me just like I desired to see you. Now, here's the thing. I know some really compassionate, really great people. But either God has shared his burden for the church with Paul, or he's a little over the top here with what he's expressing towards the church, with what he's saying that he feels for them. And the reality is that Paul, He's not only sharing the burden of the Father, the burden of Jesus for his church, but he's also sharing the joy of his triumph, the joy of his work in the midst. See, God's not just, think about this. He says, there's so much rejoicing in heaven when one sinner comes to repentance. But it's not like God's saying, all right, I'm up here having a party and you guys just keep on working. You guys just take comfort in the fact that you did a good job. You shared the gospel, you received it, and everything's good. I'm going to celebrate and I'm going to party. No, he says, this is so good, I've got to let you in on what's going on. I want to give you my heart of joy. I want to give you my heart of celebration. And what we're getting at here is that he shares with us that our burden in prayer is his love, and our reward in prayer is his joy. What a tragedy. What a tragedy that we would see prayer as an obligation. Prayer is something we had to do. No, it's our privilege to share his heart. It's our privilege. It's our life to gain his joy in the place of prayer. This is what we have laying before us. This is what we have to lay hold of in the place of prayer. And so Paul begins with this. He says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? He shares with us in the joy of his work. In Matthew 25, in the parable of the talents, Jesus says this from the master as he rewarded the faithful stewards. He said, now enter into the joy of your master. The joy of that work, the joy of that fruit, I'm going to share it with you now. The burden of prayer is his love. It's what he wants to do out of his love. And the reward of prayer is his joy. We get to share in his heart. We get to experience more of his love, and we get to experience more of his joy. This is what moves in our hearts. This is what works. This is what drives us into the place of prayer. We long out of the love of the Father to see Christ revealed. We long out of the love of the Father to see justice brought. We long to see things made right. We long to see salvation. We long to see deliverance. We long to see healing come in on every level. We long for these things. These are the burdens we experience out of the love of Christ in our hearts. And when we see those things break through in our midst and in our community, it's joy that we experience. We experience joy inexpressible, full of glory. Why? Because He's done this work and He wants to share that with us. He wants to share the burden of His love, the burden that He carries to see these things brought to pass and then reward us with a measure of His joy. And so Paul, out of this place of joy, he says, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Because here's the thing, night and day, night and day, night and day, it keeps coming. It keeps coming. We keep going. We keep going back into this place of prayer, not because it's just a matter of duty, but because the love of Christ just won't quit. The love of Christ just doesn't give up. The love of Christ is completely compelling us, continually drawing us, continually weighing in our hearts to saying, I want to see deliverance. I want to see salvation. I want to see healing come. That's our burden. And when it does, we join with Him in His joy for it, that He was able to work. We'd share with Him in His joy. The love of Christ says, Father, we need you to move in power. And it's the joy of the Lord says, Lord, we love it when you move in power. Our whole motivation in prayer is loving Him and rejoicing in His work. 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 Because the love of Christ won't let this go, and the joy of the Lord is so amazing. He's actually inviting us to experience His love and His joy in the place of prayer. I think the testimonies that we've been sharing over the past few weeks about the work in Albania are just so helpful for us, because we prayed a lot. We prayed a lot during the fundraising. We prayed a lot as they were traveling. We prayed a lot while they were there. And the amazing thing is we carried this burden. It was the burden of the Father to share His heart with children in a village. And in 4 months, we saw over $30,000 come in to support this. We carried His burden and we prayed that, Lord, we want you to go before them as they travel and make everything, just prepare the way for them, clear the way for them. And there were people who got onto planes and into countries without a passport. Do we think that when we prayed that the Word of God would be sown into the hearts of these children, that they would receive it with power, that He would do any less? This was our burden. This was the heart of the Father that we shared in. And now hearing these reports, this joy is ours. We get to celebrate it. We get to take part in it. We get to share in it. It's not just simply, think about this. If we had just simply not prayed, maybe God would have worked anyway. And then when we heard the reports, we're like, okay, that's nice. But He actually called us, share my burden, share my love, and enter into my joy. Because I want to work, I want to heal, I want to bring deliverance, I want to bring salvation. And here's the thing. Would He do any less for our city? Would He do any less for Tekoa? As we're crying out, Lord, we've heard of your works of old. Lord, would you renew them in our day? Lord, we love how you work. Lord, we love your power. Lord, we love seeing it move. And God, we're asking you, we're sharing your heart to bring healing to this city. Lord, we're sharing your heart, Lord, to bring deliverance, to set the oppressed free, to break strongholds, to break off deceptions off of people's minds in this city. Would he do any less for us than he did for a village on the other side of the world? We're carrying his heart. And we're receiving his joy. We're carrying his heart and we're receiving his joy. This is the privilege. This is the great place in prayer that we get to go through, that we get to enter into. A number of years ago, when we paid off this building, we said, let's have a celebratory fast. And so we fasted for 3 days, and then we ended the fast with a night of prayer and worship. And we had a college student here, and he was serving on the worship team that evening. And he gets off when we had finished. It'd been about 2 hours, and his eyes were bright. And he's like, that was awesome. I said, yeah, we had a good time. He said, no. He said, I've never prayed like that or that long before. What a tragedy that we separated prayer from the joy of His presence, that we separated prayer from moving in His love, that we separated, that we've made prayer this thing that you just have to do. He's inviting us to share in His heart. He's inviting us to experience His joy as he says, this is what I want to do. This is what's weighing on my heart. Watch me move because I want to share. I want to give you joy and see you rejoice as I move. It says, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. We pray, he prays that they may see the Thessalonians again and supply what is lacking in their faith. And then he prays, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. He's praying for breakthrough in a city. He's praying. They tried and tried again, and Satan had hindered them. Satan had prevented them from coming into the city. All of their efforts had failed. What's left to do? We're going to ask God to move. We're going to share His burden for the church in Thessalonica. We're going to share His burden for this city, and we're going to wait for the joy when He moves. We're going to celebrate that when He comes. All of their efforts had been restrained. All of their efforts had been shut down. Are we facing demonic, satanic, spiritual resistance or hindrances? Sometimes it's not as grotesque as what we imagine from the movies, but sometimes it's much more subtle. Sometimes it's just simply a mindset. Sometimes it's just simply a thought. I've lived here for 23 years, and here's the things I've heard living in Tekoa for 23 years. Is you just don't understand. The ground here is just too hard. You don't understand. The darkness here is just too strong. We're in the Bible Belt. Everybody's saved. Everybody goes to church. This area is over-evangelized. Thoughts like that, who wouldn't want to become a Christian, right? I mean, we're just a bunch of go-getters here, aren't we? But let's just say all of these excuses are true. What is our option? What is the burden of the Father for our city? That He would break through, that He would clear a way, that He would open up the doors for the gospel to move with power. And He's inviting us to share in that burden. He's inviting us to experience His joy as He moves, as He works. You see, I believe the Spirit of God is calling us in this season and in this generation, as He's calling every season and every generation, His people, His bride, His children, His friends, to carry His heart, to experience His love, and to experience His joy in the place of prayer. To rejoice in His work and His power more than we rejoice in the hindrance of the enemy. That's really all that discouragement is so many times, isn't it? We've forgotten who He is, and we've fixed our eyes on who the enemy is. We've become less consumed with His glory, and we begin to tremble at the glory of another power, of a lesser power. But He's inviting us. He said, would you share my burden so that I can share with you my joy in the place of prayer? You might think that the point is here just a rallying cry. Come on, let's pray more. But again, this is an internal issue, isn't it? And so that leaves a kind of a weird practical response for us. And it's found in two verses. And the first is this, is that in Romans, Paul says this, that He has shed His love abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says this in the Gospels. He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So again, the Father loves to share. He's not withholding anything from us, but he's inviting us in to experience. To experience his love, to experience his joy. We used to sing a song in the 80s, more love, more power, more of you in my life. So here's the practical application as we leave here today. It's just, what if we just took, you know, we're about to further down as you read past this, Paul goes in and he just lays his heart in prayer. And asks, he said, I pray that your love would abound and it would increase. I pray that you would be strengthened. And we're about to get into that, not next week, but the week after. But just in preparing our hearts to engage with the Father in this place of prayer, what if for 1 week we just said, God, would you share your heart with me? What's on your heart? Lord, would you increase the burden of your love for my city, for my workplace, for my church body, for my family. Lord, would you increase that by your Spirit? Would you work in my heart? Would you enlarge that in me? I don't think there's any of us here that would say, no, I've got all the love of God that I need at work in my heart, right? We all know we could do with more. And we all know that he's got more to offer and more to work and more to give. And he's inviting us to share in more of that. What if we just asked him? What if just every morning in our quiet time, as we close or even as we open, Father, I'm asking you that your love would enlarge in my heart. I'm asking you today, Lord, that you would share your heart with me for you fill in the blank. Sometimes we need it for our spouses. Sometimes. Sometimes we need it for our children. Sometimes we need it for our brothers and our sisters. And we desperately need it for the lost in our city. We desperately need the love of God to transform us. I want the weight of that burden on my heart. I want the weight of that burden. The Lord asked me this question. I don't have an answer for it yet. He said, what would it look like if the kingdom of God came to Tekoa and judged fatherlessness? What would that mean for our city? If fatherlessness was ended here because the kingdom of God came, I don't know what that looks like. I'm waiting to hear his answer, but I want his heart. I want to share in that. I want to pray into that, because when it comes, and it is going to come, amen, the joy will be ours. He'll share in it. The joy of his power, the joy of his love, the joy of his freedom, the joy of his healing, the joy of his salvation. It will be ours, and it will be so worth it. And there won't be a moment that we gave ourselves in prayer that we thought that was just wasted time. Nothing ever came of that. What's amazing about that, Paul praying this, we're praying that God would open up the door and clear the way to come, is that it was probably about 5 years before he actually got to go to that city. So many times we judge a prayer meeting by that moment, don't we? How was prayer? Meh. Prayer tonight was really good. How was prayer in terms of 5 years? What is our prayer? What does our sharing of his heart look like 5 years from now? What does it mean for our city 5 years from now? What does it mean for those who are in bondage 5 years from now? What does it mean for those who are brokenhearted 5 years from now? I want to carry his heart. I want to know his joy. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the great measure of love that you've shown us through your Son Jesus. Thank you for sending him to the cross to pay the penalty of our sin. Thank you for shedding his blood to cleanse us and remove every stain that you've washed us completely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us this great measure of love that we could be called children of God, Lord. Thank you for adopting us. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for leading us into all truth. Thank you for testifying to us of Jesus. And thank you for the love of the Father shed abroad in our hearts, God. And today we say, Lord, come and do more. Lord, come and bring more. God, we ask that you would fill us up to overflowing, God, with your love. God, we ask that you would completely transform us, Lord, in your love today. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would increase revelation of your love, Father, that these things would no longer become common place to us, Lord, but that would be gripped and undone, Lord, by the depth, the height, the length, the width of the love of Christ. God, we ask that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to all the fullness of you in Jesus' name. God, we say, come, Holy Spirit. Lord, enlarge the place of your love in our hearts. Amen. Lord, we want more. And we give you our hearts completely. And we ask that you would fill us with this love fresh today in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for your faithfulness to change us and renew us and make us more like Jesus in every way. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.